Good morning. I'm going to just jump straight in this morning with a reading from our text, part of our text today. It's a rather hard-hitting passage. And Paul, writing to the Colossians, he says, "Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed," which is idolatry. "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: as anger, as rage, as malice, as slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Like I say, a very hard-hitting passage. The question is, of whom does Paul speak? Is he speaking to Christians, or is he speaking to non-Christians? I'd like you to turn to the person beside you and for 30 seconds have a very quick discussion. Do you think Paul is talking about Christians or about non-Christians? Have a quick chat. Thank you very much. So we are already engaging with the text. And in this sense, he is talking to both. And over the last few weeks, we have been looking at who we are as church. We've talked about how we should love one another, how we should serve one another, how we should encourage one another and pray for one another. But there's an interesting one. Do you see the funny one? We should not lie to one another. There's an imagery there of taking away the old practices that accompanied us before we became Christians. It's a bit like of putting aside some garments. So I take away my jacket, and in the same way as a Christian, I set aside some of those things. Perhaps that slander. I will get rid of slander. No more slander from the lips of Gregory. What about getting rid of this lovely tie of mine? I'll get rid of that and we'll set it aside as well. So we want to get rid of lust. We want to get rid of filthy language. And you're thinking, how far is he going to go? And how are we going to get this thing off here? You know, we have to be regularly taking it seriously, getting rid of malice, getting rid of rage that consumes us. Well, I'm sure we can get rid of the white shirt, couldn't we? I'll try and be fast with this one. Whoop. See, I had a t-shirt underneath. You're all right there. And we put away these old things. And it is a conscious decision that we will live differently with God's help. When you go home and you want to get changed, you know, into casual clothes, you don't put your casual clothes on over your work clothes, unless you're very cold at home, the heating isn't on. You take them off and then you put on your casual clothes. Well, here we take off these old practices, these vices, and then we're ready to dress differently. Let's continue our text, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. And Paul says, as God's chosen people. Who's that? Who's God's chosen people? Yeah, absolutely. We are holy. We are dearly loved. So we should clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We should bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Well, you can guess what I'm going to do now. Bang goes the old stuff. Bang goes the dark, scary, little bit of color. You'll probably tell me it clashes because I'm not very good at color, but that's all right. little bit of color because we're putting on something new. I choose to put on compassion. I choose to put on humility. I choose to put on patience. And it's not just a one-off decision. It's not just that when I became a Christian, I decided, okay, now I'll be humble. But it is an ongoing process as I establish godly habits. And as part of that looking different and behaving differently, then I learn to bear with one another. I learn to put up with other people. And I hope they learn to put up with me as well. There was a cue for an amen there, probably. We learn to forgive one another. And that was, of course, is core to what we're looking at today. But I have one more item. A little bit of color. Quite a contrast to my black suit. Probably doesn't go, but that's all right. Because we are told over all these virtues to put on love. Because love binds them all together in perfect unity. And we make a conscious decision that we will demonstrate love. Not a wishy-washy affection, but a determination that we will live our lives in such a way as to seek the good, to seek the best for other people. Can you say amen to that? Absolutely. Well, this all sounds very good in theory. We get rid of the vices, we put on the virtue, we bear with one another, we forgive one another, we love one another. Sounds really good in theory. The practice, as you know and I know, can be a little bit more challenging. In practice, we always run up, from time to time, against difficult people. And the fact of the matter is that some people are just plain mean. You know, you will meet people and they will tell lies about you or people that you care about. And they will slander and they will gossip about you and they will even threaten you. And some people seem to take great pleasure in humiliating you, making you feel really small. And the temptation, friends, is that when we meet people like that, we are tempted to respond in kind. Well, they're gossiping about me. Well, I'll talk about them, shall I? Or they are threatening me. Well, I'll sort them out. I know karate. Actually, I don't not, but that's okay. And we respond in kind. But this is not the way of the master. It's not the way of the one who, before his trial, was mocked and beaten and humiliated, but did not raise his voice in response. Rather, we follow the way of the master and we choose to live differently. Can you hear amen to that? Of course, it is worth remembering, and it has been said, that hurt people often hurt others. And if you respond in kind to a mean person, it serves only to reinforce their behavior. And of course, this is much more difficult when the person we're talking about is a fellow believer, someone in church or maybe a group you go to during the week, and someone who's been horrible. Well, how can they be horrible? How can they be gossiping about me? How can they be mean to me? How can they be slandering me or even threatening me when they own the name of Christ? And it's almost as if they have come to follow Christ, but they have not taken away those vices. They're still wearing those old clothes. Or, more worryingly, sometimes someone who follows Christ, they choose to put on again these old behaviors, these old vices. Very difficult, very challenging when this happens. And sadly, we do encounter such people. And I want to show you, oh dear, there we go. I want to show you four verses. We've already had our do not lie to one another. But here are four more negative one another's. Because there are mean people even within the family of God. It's hard, sad to say. And Paul warns every one of us. He says in Galatians 5:15, if you bite and devour one another, I'm sure he doesn't mean it literally, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. If we live like that, if we respond in kind, we will end up being destroyed. In Galatians 5:26, he says, let us not provoke and envy one another. James turns around and says in chapter 5 and verse 9, don't grumble against one another or you will be judged. And again, James 4:11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Why does Scripture tell us these things, these negative one another's? Because they are a danger, because we have to take these things seriously. And how we get on with one another is key to how we live out our Christian lives. You know, you can sing all the songs you want and dance around and come across as a lovely Christian person, but it is how we relate to one another day by day that is key. And as Christians, we choose virtue. As Christians, we choose forgiveness. Now, in saying that, I know that there are some people who have been so very hurt in the past that they withdraw into themselves. And they don't want to hear all of this stuff. And they think, well, it's very hard, you know, being a Christian. And maybe they worship remotely and they will perhaps go on to televisions and they will watch some Christian channel rather than coming to church. Or they will perhaps go on the internet and say, well, I'll stay away from people, I'll hear some good preaching, I'll enjoy the worship, and that's enough for me. Or perhaps for some people, they'll come to a church and they will very deliberately arrive late and leave early so they can talk to God, but don't want to have to talk to anyone else. Or you even get it with people who will interact, will come to church, but they'll only talk to a very few trusted friends, because if they can't be hurt, they don't need to forgive. But I want to say to you, friends, that we benefit enormously from the interaction of fellowship. As we rub shoulders one with another, and this is the whole theme of our current topic, you know, if we aren't, Book of Proverbs says that iron sharpens iron. And as we rub shoulders one with another, so we encourage one another. As we rub shoulders with one another and get to know one another, we can pray for one another. And it's not just a bless him, brother, bless him, Lord. But actually, I know his situation. I have talked to him. I understand what he's going through. I can pray for him with understanding. And God hears and God channels the blessing and the transformation because we rub shoulders. As we rub shoulders, we can teach one another and we can support one another. But you know the problem with rubbing shoulders is sometimes we say the wrong thing and we hurt one another. And when we do that, we need to forgive. Okay, I'm going quite quickly today. I'm partly going quite quickly because we're going to have communion. We're going to have a time of prayer for people later on. And I want to give opportunity for that. You know, most times when people do hurt you, you can just write it off as a misunderstanding or a courteous error. It's just him, it's just her, it's just her way. It's easy, it's better to do that, just to walk away from things. But when such hurts are repeated, or when they are particularly serious, then we need to seek reconciliation. And this happened to me relatively recently in work. And I was aware that I had a rather strained relationship with a colleague at work. And I find myself starting to dread going into work in the morning. And I maybe like tiptoe into my room and try not to see this particular colleague, because there was always some comment that was negative that was getting me down. And I find myself actually looking for are there other jobs out there? Do I want to stay here in this work situation? And I tried to find an opportunity in just casual conversation to talk to that person, but it was never really convenient. All the people were around, and it was building on me day after day after day. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation like that. And so eventually I decided this is getting silly, and so I went to the person and I said, I need to talk to you. Could we make an appointment where we can just talk, the two of us? And rather difficult because we're both living very busy timetables, but we found a slot and we got together that day and we shut the door so no one could interrupt us, and we spent about 30 minutes having a very frank and full conversation. And both of us had chance to express our own perspectives and how I was feeling and then how she responded to this, and we acknowledged the difficulties that there were in our relationship. And I came away from that 30 minutes with some pointers that you know I needed to avoid, and she came away with some attitudes that she needed to reassess. But it was such an encounter of healing and wholeness, and I'm aware that since then I've been much happier at work and going in and feeling much more positive. And what I've described there is an entirely secular context. It's not church, it's work. The lady I'm talking to isn't a Christian, completely secular. But I want to say to you, friends, that type of behavior of reconciliation should be standard practice among Christians. I'm not going to read to you right now Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. If you've never read it, do have a look at what the words of Jesus are in Matthew 18. Jesus says, when you are having difficulties with a brother or sister, be prepared to sit down and work these things out. It's thoroughly biblical as a desire for reconciliation. But forgiveness is not easy, and sometimes it all goes wrong. I want to give you three ways it sometimes goes wrong. I'm a little cartoon I'm sure that some of you will enjoy. Number one, when forgiveness goes wrong, sometimes rather than seeking reconciliation, when people are hurt, they will go over the head of the person who has offended them. And some people, though, that person's hurt me, so I will go to their manager and talk to them. Or I guess in a church context, I'll go and talk to the elders. And so what happens is, there you are in work, or I guess in church, and you have a conversation with your manager, and they say, someone has complained about you. Oh, who was it? Oh, I can't tell you, it's confidential. And what you have then is a one-sided conversation, because the manager says, we've had these complaints. And you're thinking, well, you know, I want to be able to explain my point of view. I want to hear from the other person, but it doesn't happen. Now, you may have gone to that manager and you may feel better because you vented your frustrations, but actually, probably nothing is going to change. And the better approach is, when you are hurt, is you go and you talk to the person and you achieve reconciliation. Again, Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, try this, do this. If it doesn't work, then yes, go over their head, involve other people, but as brothers and sisters, come together and be reconciled. That's number one. Here's number two. Sometimes people are hurt, and they're hurt repeatedly, again and again, and rather than seeking reconciliation, they bottle it up and they try to forgive the other person and say, I'll be more spiritual. Lord, help me to forgive them. Lord, 70 times 7. Lord, they've done it again. They've done it again. Now, biblically, they should go and ask for reconciliation. But we spiritualize it and we say, I'm being spiritual, I will forgive them again. But actually, what is more spiritual is to come together and talk it through. There's a verse in Hebrews which warns us of the danger of bottling up stuff. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." And when we are hurt again and again and we bottle it up, then bitterness grows and we are all the poorer. So number one is going over someone's head while I'm talking to them. Number two is bottling it up. Number three, when forgiveness goes wrong, has to do with laying guilt trips on someone. Let me have a completely theoretical, hypothetical example for you. I'm not, you know, talking about me or anyone else here. But imagine there you are in church. You finished the service. You've lined up for the cup of tea. You've smiled at the person. You've got your lovely chocolate digestive, which are very nice. And then someone comes up to you and they say, "Can I talk to you, please?" "Yes, absolutely. You know, what's the problem?" And the person says to you, "I want you to know that I hate the way that when you pray in church, you use all these really, really long words. And it makes me feel stupid. And I've talked to all of my friends, and they all agree that when you use all these really long words, it makes us feel stupid, and we hate it. And we want to ask you if you would forgive us, please, for our attitude." Now imagine, how would you think, respond? The obvious thing is, the obvious response is say, "Oh, I forgive you." But actually, you should say, "Who do you think you are?" Because rather than trying to bring reconciliation, that person has come in and created a problem. You know, they had a problem. You didn't. You were praying to God. God understands the big words. If they don't know the big words, then learn them or get a dictionary. You know, they have the problem. You don't. And rather than reconciling it, we talk about forgiveness. But actually, they have created a problem. And then how are you next Sunday when Jill says, "Let's all pray," how are you going to turn around and start talking to God? Because you're thinking, "Oh no, what words can I use? Dear God, I love you, amen." Was that short enough? And we lay a guilt trip on someone. I remember when I was at university, which is a few years back now, and the classic one at university was you would have a young man would go up to a young girl in the Christian Union and say, "Sister, I want you to know that all week I've been having lustful thoughts about you. And I want you to forgive me, please." And because you're young and naive as a Christian, a Christian Union, as a student, you say, "Oh, yes, I forgive you. Thank you very much." Your action should be, take a walk. Who do you think you are? Because previously, there was no problem. Previously, there you are worshiping God, and suddenly this person has dumped all of this on you, and you're thinking, "I don't dare look at him anymore. What's he thinking about me?" You think to yourself, "Well, who else is thinking those things about me?" And it actually causes trouble. And the fact of the matter is, if your struggle is one-sided, then by all means ask someone for prayer. Go and ask a leader for prayer. But don't dump a guilt trip on other people. Because forgiveness and reconciliation is far too important for that. Come on. Amen. There we go. We need to be together, not to cause difficulties. Let's listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus in Matthew 16, this is the end of the Lord's Prayer, and he says, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Forgiveness is that important. And if we opt to withhold forgiveness, if we hang on to our feelings of anger and victimhood, if we nurse our hurts, then the consequences, honestly, can be very severe. I'm going to ask musicians if you just come back onto the stage. There's my key verse from today. And today has by no means been an exhaustive look at forgiveness. I haven't, for example, talked about receiving forgiveness from God. Didn't get mentioned. I haven't looked at corporate responsibility for offenses. I haven't even considered, what are we meant to do when the other person will not apologize, won't say sorry, when they will not accept any responsibility? I haven't looked at those things, and I acknowledge that. But friends, very simply, we are called to put up with each other. We are called to forgive those who trespass against us. And we forgive one another. We benefit by rubbing shoulders for one another. But we forgive because Jesus showed us how to forgive, and we follow in the steps of the Master. And Sharon's going to lead us now in a time of response, and there'll be a time to pray one for another and to receive prayer. God bless you.